Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce, we have Chief Joel Schultz, doctor, retired police chief. Thank you so much for being back on the show, Chief. Also, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors. We have Gauls, our title sponsor at Gauls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And we've got GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. Thanks to them, we're streaming over a million followers right now during the live show. And TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying the content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, FormerLawman.com. And also our very own Travis Shades with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And I just want to throw out, since we're talking about Gauls, Radio 15, that's that code that they gave me to give to you in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com. So remember that. Now, guys, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Here's the topics, assuming we have time to get to them. Cops or the Constitution, the legal battle over a heckler's veto in New York City. I'm kind of fascinated by that article. I don't know what's going to happen because it hasn't gone to trial yet, but I suspect the chief is going to be all over this one. And then we've got an update on our new Secretary of Homeland Security. Kristi Noem has got a new position, and we're going to be talking about the replacement. And then San Diego deputy convicted in a fatal shooting. We got Austin police releasing 911 calls and video from a deadly mass shooting probed as a potential terrorism link. We got video from that. We got a 2023 video released of a shootout between a murder suspect and Pierce County deputies, plural. We got a man accused of killing his daughter's alleged rapist. He wins the Arkansas sheriff primary. Wow. And then a suspect died after being punched by a Baltimore police officer during a welfare check. And yeah, there's video. So guys, before we get started, you know, the chief and I were talking, and the chief made a comment about sometimes war conflict is necessary in order to really see how good you are, what your limitations are, and you know, and the learn. And I made a comment about, you know, going and police work, you know, you train, and you kind of go through life kind of always want to be prepared. And, but you see things as a challenge, and you want to step up to the plate. So you don't want to be the guy that's on video pulling the George Peterson at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, you know, school down in Parkland, where you're cowering and not wanting to go in and say either, you know. And you know what I've learned? Most people, I think everybody, you just don't know. You can think in your mind, you know what you're going to do, but you really don't know what you're going to do until you get there. I've been at so many scenes and covered so many things to where the performance of people, it's not a given, it's not a guarantee. And I have been shocked by the performance of certain people in certain situations. So you don't necessarily know how you're going to react to a situation until you get there. Would you agree with that, Chief, or do you have a difference of opinion on that? Or I'm curious.
No, you know, this anti-warrior mindset that had arisen during the George Floyd defunding kind of thing, and back when Obama wanted us all to be guardians instead of warriors, you find out who the warriors are when the lead's flying and when the sound of gunfire is erupting. And particularly in the two videos, if we get to them, the one in Austin and the one in Pierce County, just a gaggle of heroes. I mean, these officers are ready to engage, running into the fray, being concerned about the innocents, taking care of business and doing so professionally and assertively. And I love heroes. I have been blessed to have been in the company of heroes during my career. And you do see the ones that are like, okay, my safety first. You know, we talk about officer safety. And officer safety is a moral imperative because that keeps you in the fight. That keeps you from being somebody that needs to be rescued. It keeps you from somebody who's giving over their equipment to another person. Now that doesn't denigrate if you get wounded or killed in the line of duty. That's certainly honorable. I don't want to take anything away from that. But it's not selfish to want to survive, unless that survival instinct out governs your actions. relative to your service instinct. And, you know, what you've got to put other people first and allow yourself to be at risk. And that's the only place it can be tested is when it's tested.
Good point. I think I screwed up. I think I said George Peterson. I meant Scott Peterson, the SRO from Parkland. So
I don't know who George Peterson is, but we apologize.
Yeah, there's been a couple George Petersons in the news, not in a good way either. But yeah, this dude was Scott Peterson, and that's not much good to say about him. So if you're ready, Chief, you ready to cover our first story, our first main topic?
Absolutely. Let me check my notes. We're ready to go.
Ready to go. Okay. So Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. I got to tell you, Chief, you know, it seems like you are on the show when I come, when I find these articles, and this one, it gets your brain thinking, at least mine, which probably doesn't take a lot. Cops or the Constitution with a question mark, the legal battle over a heckler's veto in New York City. So a peaceful speaker should not be silenced just because a crowd gets rowdy, according to a legal challenge now sitting before the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit. So on the surface, that makes a lot of sense, right? But let's get dive into this and let's see what an agency did in New York. So the Liberty Justice Center filed an amicus brief this week in the case of Rustfelt versus City of New York. They argued that the New York Police Department, NYPD, that they overstepped because they arrested a street preacher instead of restraining the angry crowd surrounding him. Now, the incident dates back to June of 2021. And remember that time frame, guys, because that was, just over a year after COVID started, during New York City's Pride Fest. Now, the pastor, Aiden Rustfelt, he's on a public sidewalk in Lower Manhattan. But remember, he's a pastor and it's Pride Fest. Okay, so you know, there's a lot of, you know, it's a gay thing going on, and so there's, you know, he may not be welcome is what I'm going. But he's on a sidewalk in Lower Manhattan. He's not even on the parade route. He's away from it. He's holding a sign and he's preaching. While his message was described as inflammatory and deeply offensive to those people that were present, he remained nonviolent. As the situation escalated, members of the crowd, they started shouting at him, making threats. They even started throwing objects at him. Now, when NYPD gets there, rather than stopping the crowd, the aggression, and focus on the pastor, they tell him to leave. Now, he refuses. He says he has a First Amendment right to be there in a public forum, and they arrest him for failing to disperse. Now, a federal jury, previously sided with the city, and a district court later upheld that verdict. So you've got a federal jury, district court that upholds the verdict from the jury, and the court used a, quote, promote public order standard, unquote, to place the burden on Rustfelt, the pastor, to prove that the officers lacked a reason to arrest him. However, this is where it gets good. The Liberty Justice Center, they're coming to the rescue, the Calvary. They argue that this creates a, quote, heckler's veto. And it's a scenario where the government shuts down a speaker because an audience threatens violence. And here's a quote from senior counsel Ryan Morrison from the Liberty Justice Center. He says, law enforcement cannot allow the heckler's veto to cancel the First Amendment in today's polarized society. Otherwise, the first group that resorts or retorts will always win the debate. The legal brief argues that when the government's response is triggered by the consent of a person's speech or the hostility that it causes, it must meet strict scrutiny, the highest legal standard for the government to justify its actions. Now, the Liberty Justice Center, they maintain that the city, at New York, that they cannot meet the standard, and it is asking the Second Circuit to reaffirm that the police must protect speech even when it provokes a hostile reaction. Chief Schultz.
Well, I think the Liberty Justice Center, and that's the first I've heard of them, is on legal sound ground there. And I follow closely and contribute to the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ, and they take up a lot of these kinds of cases where pastors have been arrested. Part of this goes back to our hypersensitive population that just can't stand to hear something that doesn't validate their feelings. And I understand from a New York City cop's point of view, okay, do I get this one guy to leave and call it a day, or do I try to repel these 50 angry Pride Fest celebrants? So from a practical, tactical point of view, I have a hard time faulting the cops. But it is NYPD. They've got, you know, there are hundreds of officers that could have come and set up a line or something. And I'm sure they had officers on duty for the Pride Fest as well. So, you know, protecting individual liberty and allowing free speech to encourage the interchange of ideas in a civil way is really a central tenet of our First Amendment. You know, we have a lot of amendments, but this is the first one. And we just can't allow the crowd. And I like that phrase with the veto thing, because I'd heard it in relation to an assassin veto. Okay, we don't like Trump, let's kill him. We don't like Charlie Kirk's voice, right, let's kill him. And so we simply cannot allow these forces to snuff out free speech. We see this happening in the UK, where everybody's so sensitive that if you make an X post or a Facebook post or a meme or a joke, you can go to jail. And we don't want that to happen here.
Guys, well, thank you. Thank you, Chief. We got a great question that one of our users posed, and it's about whether this was inciting a riot. We're going to address that. We got a commercial break first. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise, made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. And you know what? We're talking about a case from New York, NYPD, where a pastor was not even on the parade route for Pride Fest, but it was about roughly a year and a half after COVID and 2021. And he's just he's talking. The crowd did not like what he was saying. But remember, Pride Fest, remember the crowd. And so the cops, instead of doing anything to repel the crowd or to quiet them down, they're even throwing stuff at them and they're hurling insults. It was getting a little outrageous. They arrest the pastor when he refuses to leave. And so that's what we're talking about. So I know you were, I know that you had just finished, I think, before a commercial break, Chief. And I was hoping to, I'm going to see if I can find that comment real quick that a user posted. And it was an interesting one. It was Jackson Long. I'll put it up on the screen. Jackson Long said, wouldn't that be inciting, he said to riot, but inciting a riot is what he meant. At least if the crowd keeps getting worse, out of control. So if you don't mind, let me take this, Chief, and then whatever I screw up on, you can correct me and take credit for it. So the easy answer, Jackson, is that absolutely not. I'm going to use your terminology, inciting to riot, but it's really inciting a riot. So the pastor's not doing anything assertive to incite them. Inciting a riot would be if he was if there was a group of protesters that did not like the Pride Parade, and he was, you know, inciting them to, like, hey, you know, here's rocks, here's bottles, or go hit him, or sabotage that, or, you know, if he was encouraging people to do stuff, that would be inciting a riot. If he's calling people to arms or calling people to, if he's disorderly conduct would be, you know, if you're creating a scene and you're disrupting the normal business activity of like a business or something. But this would not be inciting a riot. Now, the people that were there doing it, they could likely be charged with inciting a riot by festering this movement, you know, to get people to yell at him, and then they're throwing, then it increases to where they're like throwing stuff at him and hitting him and stuff. So that would be, but no, just because you're up there and saying things or reading from a book and people don't like what you say, you're not responsible for that reaction unless you've gone so much further and against the law. So did I leave anything out, Chief?
No, you're absolutely right, Chip. And this is not like yelling fire in a crowded theater. If we get to the point where we say you can't speak in public any content that might offend somebody, then we've lost it. And so, and I agree with your assessment, you know, with the question, wouldn't it be inciting a riot? Who's doing the inciting? The inciting, you know, if you're lawfully participating as a person or in a group and exercising your First Amendment free speech rights, as opposed to somebody who's doing something unlawful, like throwing stuff, then, you know, the case is pretty clear. But it's a good question, and I appreciate you clearing it up.
You know, let's put the shoe on the other foot. Imagine how much fun it would be if that was the case, though. If this case, let's just say this case did not get overturned. Could you imagine that? If someone's on a street corner and you don't like what they're saying, so you get some buddies and you just start acting violent, throwing things, and they're going to go arrest him and put him in jail, but he doesn't leave. How great would that be, huh?
Right.
I mean, it would be such an injustice, but I'm just saying no one would ever be able to get on a street corner again and say anything. You know, it would be horrific, you know, and the founding fathers would be rolling in their graves. So just, you know, food for thought. So,
yeah, I know of a person who's on a faculty at a major university in they had Kyle Rittenhouse was scheduled to speak. And we've seen this kind of pattern, you know, all along. You get a right-wing speaker and the lefties get mad. So this one kid, a student, decided he was going to go play his saxophone really, really loud and drown out Kyle Rittenhouse. Well, guess who got arrested for
disorderly
conduct. Yeah. And he was like shocked, you know, and it's a continuing conflict. Yeah.
I'm sure they warned him first. So, you know, and that's it. You know, it's when, and I'm not saying or person watched the show that had a question, legitimate question, but that's when, you know, when cops give you a warning and say, hey, I'm telling you, you got to leave. It's trespass after warning, or, you know, hey, shut the music down disorderly. You're attracting a lot of attention. People are, you know, you're interfering with the normal business operation. What's must be going on, whatever. A lot of people think they know more about the law than they really do. Now, I'm glad this pastor, he was, you know, he knew he was right, and he was testing the system. And had he not been arrested, we would never be having this conversation, and this wouldn't be going to court. So I actually am glad that he did this and stuck. And I'm glad that the Justice Center came in and that they picked up the tab on this and took this. And we'll see what happens. But I'm sure it's just a little, you know, little mental note that cops here in the show can, you know, you get a call, you know. You don't necessarily have a supervisor with you telling you what to do. And I would hate to think, but I'm sure like with NYPD, you could get cops showing up that would actually, I would certainly hope I would never do that. I we see things in black and white. So it just bothers me that there are cops that went there and they saw the scene and they made a decision to punitively affect, you know, the pastor who's just, you know, talking about biblical stuff, I'm sure, which obviously upsets the people at Pride Fest, you know, and it just bothers me to the core, you know? So, yeah.
I think it's similar to the situation when Don Lemon and his group went into the church in Minneapolis. It's, you know, do numbers and volume and a sense of moral righteousness supersede somebody else's right to express themselves? Okay. And officers, and I like your point that officers have to make this decision And as I said earlier, sure, it would make sense. This is going to solve a problem, get this guy out of the way. But yeah, our higher loyalty is not just to solve the immediate problem. Our higher loyalty is our oath to protect the constitutional rights of individual citizens. And sometimes that becomes very, very inconvenient. And I agree with you. I think I made the wrong call on this. I hope the courts sustain this pastor's right.
Well, thanks, Chief. Already time for a second commercial break. So here we go, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. And we're talking about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing you non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers, well, I was going to say, I usually say tens of thousands of times. Now there are over 250,000 deployments with no injuries or deaths. Amazing stat. And you heard that correctly, no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. So when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com. Today. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. And wow, we've been having a lot of fun talking about freedom of speech. I mean, the only thing that would make the show any better is if we had First Amendment guru Luke LaRoe on the show. And this has been a great topic. So the NYPD arrest, the street preacher, the crowd didn't like what he was saying during Pride Fest, and they arrest him for refusing to leave instead of doing anything to get the crowd to calm down, stop throwing and hitting him with stuff, all that stuff. So we'll watch for that decision in court. But before we talk about, are you ready to move on, Chief? Because I was going to talk about legal affairs, if that's okay.
I heard about this amazing new website that's coming up. I want to hear about that.
So I have been waiting to make this announcement. I wanted to wait till we're back on radio. So look, we're letting the cat out of the bag just before the weekend. And you guys, and yeah, Jackson Long, you're going to like this news. And he's still there with us on Facebook. So here's what I've done. A lot of you guys know that when I was with Tampa Police, I was there 30 years. And when I had 18 years on, I had a hellacious internal affairs investigation against me. And then it turned into a criminal probe. It was a lot of stuff to go through, a lot of stress. And I got cleared on everything. I got cleared on the 21 allegations against me in internal affairs. And I even weathered the storm with a criminal complaint against me, the criminal investigation. And as you know, if you're involved in law enforcement, they do the criminal first, and then they wait to do the IA, the internal affairs stuff, which is an administrative thing. They do that afterwards, because if they do it in the other order, it could adversely affect your criminal case. Stuff in the administrative stuff could adversely affect what's going on in criminal court, things that normally aren't allowed could get released, all that kind of stuff. So I was recording bad guys, and since I was doing the public corruption and organized crime and adult entertainment unit, I was recording attorneys that were fixing cases, and it ended up being one attorney that was two attorneys that were involved in that. So anyhow, they investigated me for 7 months. I didn't do anything wrong, of course, and I ultimately got cleared, but it went all the way to the Governor Jeb Bush's office. The Hillsborough County State Attorney's Office had to recuse themselves because I was investigating their attorneys, and it went to the Sarasota County State Attorney's Office, and that's kind of the way everything rolled. So I started a website back then because I didn't want what happened to me to happen to other people. And it was called leoaffairs.com. And it allowed officers to talk about issues going on in the workplace with anonymity, without the fear of repercussion from the agency. And I partnered with a Sergeant Jim Preston with my agency. And oh my gosh, this thing blew up. So ran it for 12 years before I sold it. And Jim and I, towards the end, there was an issue with the FOP boycotting the site because there were some FOP presidents in South Florida that the members were having a huge issue with. And I was letting the members talk about it. When the FOP presidents told me to shut down the message boards, I refused. They did a boycott, a Florida boycott, and then they boycotted me nationally. That's fine. So I started this website, And it, by the time, after 12 years, by the time it was sold, had over 500 law enforcement agencies on it in 18 countries and had over 400 volunteer moderators. Now think about that. It was the absolutely, to this day, the largest law enforcement message board that's ever existed. And it was the third largest law enforcement website in the world at its time. Now it's since been taken down by the company that I sold it to. And I am resurrecting the website, especially with what happened in Minneapolis and watching, you know, the ICE and Border Patrol going into neighboring St. Paul and, you know, like Minneapolis PD. We don't have the staff, the manpower to send out the troops to control the rioters and the protesters. So they sit in the office, they sit in headquarters, and they wait for somebody, an ICE agent, having to shoot somebody that hits them with a car. And now all of a sudden they have enough manpower to send out, you know, the cavalry, and they'll shut the scene down. They start collecting evidence because they want to criminally charge the ICE agent that ended up shooting somebody that hit him with a car. And so that's the way they're. So that bothers me. So I'm giving cops the forum to be able to talk about that without the fear of repercussion from the agency. Now, that said, this is like Leo Affairs 2.0. It is like Leo Affairs on steroids. So it is now being hosted in Switzerland. And there are huge, huge privacy laws that protect everybody in Switzerland. It's arguably the best in the world. So the servers are over there. So that means if a chief or sheriff wants to backdoor, you know, me and try to get all the IP addresses, they're not going to have any luck doing that. And it also means that the software we're using, I don't have access to IP addresses. So even I cannot get the IP addresses on postings and stuff. So that is why I believe heavily in moderation. So if there's an issue come to us, we'll take care of it. We also are going to be using AI, artificial intelligence, to do automated moderation, and it's going to learn as it goes, and it's going to be running 24/7. And there's other things that we're doing, but let me tell you, your identity is protected so well with this thing. So the URL, which is the Uniform Resource Locator, or the domain name, it is leoaffairs.ch. So it's not .com, it's CH. CH tells you that it's in Switzerland. So that is the extension for the domain name. It stands for something that's related to Switzerland. I can't remember off the top of my head, but leoaffairs.ch is the domain name. If you go there, register, get the conversations going. We've already got about roughly 10 forms that are built. Yeah, including ICE, Border Patrol, Minneapolis, St. Paul, even Portland, where that shooting happened. And when we had Leo Affairs, the most popular message boards were Broward County Sheriff's Office and Miami PD, and those are on there as well. So guys, you guys are get to be the first people to go there and start interacting on the website, get the conversation going before this thing blows up. And I want you guys to help me get this thing blown up and get the word out there. So leoaffairs.ch, spread the word. Let's get people back on this thing and blow this thing back up. And it, the software, you can share your postings on social media. Let's start getting some viral stuff going. So any commentary yet, Chief? I leave anything out?
Well, you know, the last topic that we talked about was First Amendment rights. And I think people maybe not realize how precarious the First Amendment rights of police officers are when they have something that they want to say. It's either the investigation process keeps them silenced, or the politics keeps them silenced, or department policy keeps them silenced. And it can be very frustrating to have something on your heart and mind, know that something is wrong, that hurts the whole system, and it puts police officers and citizens at risk by the secret keeping. So I'm really excited about this steam valve, you know, being put into place by you and your colleagues. I think it's a great asset.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I remember when I was at an FOP conference before they boycotted me. And I was in New Orleans, and I started getting phone calls from reporters saying, hey, what do you think about the lawsuit? And I'm like, what lawsuit? And I had found out that way that the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, I live within Hillsborough County, campus within Hillsborough County, but the Sheriff's Office was suing us to identify anonymous John and Jane Doe's that it posted on the Leo Affairs website or message board. And so in short, there was a person with the handle of She Devil, which apparently seemed to be a deputy, And there was a missing baby investigation, the Eisenberg investigation, and the sheriff's office had bugged the house where the parents lived, and it went south from there. So the person, She Devil, posted that the sheriff's office had screwed up the investigation and that they were going to pay royally for it, which they did. And the sheriff got upset. And it really wasn't so much the sheriff, David G. It was Jose DeCobo, the undersheriff, the number two in charge. And he hated me. And so he's the one, from what I understand, that spearheaded the effort to do the lawsuit. So they started going through courts to identify anonymous Jane and John Doe's. They wanted to find out who the deputies were. They wanted to take action against them. But they said that they wanted to interview them because they apparently had information in reference to the Eisenberg investigation. And they wanted to get information to help them out in the investigation. But, you know, we know what they really wanted to do. So I went to courts. I mean, Judge Crawford here, and there was another judge here. It went all the way to the second DCA, right under the Florida Supreme Court. And man, we kicked butt all along the way. Hired attorney Luke LaRoe, First Amendment guru that I mentioned earlier. And now we had case law on our side. And the court essentially said that, and I attended the hearing, you don't have the right to subpoena people on a policy violation for an agency. They have First Amendment right, the right of speech, of freedom of speech. And you don't even know for sure that these guys are deputies. So you certainly don't have the right to force the identification of people that are posting by IP address. And we won. So it was a long fight. There's been other major battles along the way, but we've always gone out of our way. We've never been forced to honor a subpoena to give up an IP address. So it's been a wild ride.
Well, listen, I haven't been through what you have been through with the IA and the potential criminal stuff and the subpoena fights and all that. But I have certainly had forces try to crush me to put my career at risk. So this voice for the voiceless is really important. I'm anxious to see what happens.
Well, thanks, Chief. I appreciate it. Well, guys, we're coming up on our next commercial break. So, wow, time is getting out of control here. So I'm going to start the music. We're going to the commercial break, our third commercial break, and we're going to be covering some videos after this. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and even police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're chief or sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. And, you know, we've got a little over 9 minutes. And we're gonna roll. We're gonna make this quick. So the next one, we've had some great conversations. So thanks for letting us talk about this new Leo Affairs at leoaffairs.ch. Please check it out, register, get that going. So this next story, it's on the libertydaily.com and tampafp.com, which is the Tampa Free Press, and truthsocial.com, Donald Trump's page, and also copyingcovid.com. And I'm just going to read these titles to you. Trump taps Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen to replace Kristi Noem at the Department of Homeland Security. The Trump post that he made on social media, on True Social, Trump says Kristi Noem is out as DHS secretary. So he actually, let me just make sure that this is actually, I'm sorry, this is actually the Tampa Free Press. I'm pleased to announce that the highly respected United States Senator from the great state of Oklahoma, Mark Wayne Mullen, will become the United States Secretary of Homeland Security effective March the 31st. So later this month, the current Secretary, Kristi Noem, who has served us well and has been and has had numerous spectacular results, especially on the border, will be moving to be special envoy for the Shield of the Americas, our new security initiative in the Western Hemisphere. We are announcing on Saturday in Doral, Florida. I thank Kristi for her service at Homeland. Now, we've So we've kind of covered what Trump said. Everybody said now, you know, I love Coffee and COVID. Attorney Jeff Childers in Gainesville has the publication, and it's free Monday through Saturday. I pay extra to get the one on Sunday, but I'm trying to support him too. So Jeff Childers writes at Coffee and COVID. It's coffeeandcovid.com. He's talking about this. He says the timing shows that Noam's transfer was about repositioning her for this specific role at this specific moment. So it's a lot deeper. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people on the left that are trying to say other things happen, and whether or not that's true or not, I don't know. I don't believe that she would still be in the Trump organization if there were serious issues with Kristi Noem. And I think that he strategically put her there, but there's even a more complicated play here. He goes on, and I'm talking about Attorney Jeff Childers. Trump spun the senatorial carousel again. He drew in Oklahoma Junior Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, our newest DHS secretary. And at the same time, he bumped the total number of senatorial swaps up to 7. And Governor Kevin Stitt will appoint a temporary replacement for the safe GOP seat that he's leaving to serve until the general election in November. And Senator Mullen is perfect for DHS. He talks about him, you know, being a MMA fighter and all this kind of stuff. And he says that Mullen is built like an above average fire hydrant and is now in charge of the border. Noem was a beauty queen. Mullen is an MMA fighter. It's a serious upgrade. If you kick a fire hydrant, the hydrant doesn't move and your foot hurts. So I know you love the publication, Chief. But he's talking about the strategy with Trump replacing some of these older congressmen. And he's doing it. He's just got a strategy. And now he's at like number 7. And the Dems are not doing this. So he's talking about the strategy. I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole on this one, because you guys can simply subscribe to coffeeandcovid.com for free and get the daily newsletter and find out for yourself. So it gets emailed to you every day. But that's the nuts and bolts on that. Any commentary on that, Chief, before we move on to the next one?
It'll be interesting to see how Mullins, who's kind of bellicose and super MAGA, is going to survive in this. The other two things I'd say is Noem was too much like Trump in a lot of ways that I could describe if we had more time. And I think he didn't like her in the spotlight. The third thing is, if she's going to be over South American, Southern Hemisphere narco-terrorism, which I think is going to be one of her responsibilities, that's going to put her directly in dealing with the Chinese, because the Chinese had involvement in Venezuelan. One of our motives for taking Maduro out. And they're heavily involved in supplying precursor chemicals for the fentanyl trade out of Mexico, with those wars going on. It's out of the news right now, but it's still, you know, something really cooking there. So she's going to have some real responsibilities if they give her that position.
All right. Good for her. And Jackson Long, glad you're a big fan of the show. And yeah, please keep watching. So guys, moving along here, we've got a story with a video component at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Austin police release 911 calls and a video from a deadly mass shooting probe. This is a possible terrorism link. And of course, we're talking about the one in Austin, Texas. And so they released this footage, and there's radio traffic and recordings from 911 calls in the early morning hours. This deadly mass shooting happened in the 6th Street Entertainment District, and we've got footage, you know, showing the bars closing Sunday, crowded street. Video shows a suspect walking with what Austin Police Chief Lisa Davis said was an AR-15 rifle. So earlier he shot from his vehicle through the open window with a pistol. Then he gets out with the AR-15. You see him kind of walking around. People are running haphazardly. Suspect appears to be firing along a popular intersection. The way he was holding the rifle, though, Chief, it looked like he didn't know how to shoot is what it looked like. I'm just curious what you thought. Police body cam footage showed officers rushing towards the gunman, volley gunshots being exchanged.
Where is he? Fired, one down. Hey, don't move! Don't move! Light sweater, light camo.
I'm on the ground! Where is he? Where is he?
Over there!
He's on 6th Street! Where is he? Where is he? Who shot?
Sure.
suspect is down.
The suspect goes down on the ground. Additional officers arrive. They're directed to the suspect's location by people who are hiding, you know, taking cover and stuff. So it was, you know, when you get there, and there's, unless there's gunfire that's going on, you just don't know what's going on. So they're out, you know, you're always asking, hey, where's he at? You know, where'd he go? Where's it coming from? Who's got the gun? So the release of materials comes as authorities continue to investigate whether the gunman, I'm not going to give his name out, but he's a 53-year-old. What they want to know whether it was inspired by what's going on between the U.S., Israel, and Iran. And it talks about the three people that were dead or, you know, killed, unfortunately, 19 years old, 21 years old, and 30 years old. Now they're saying 19 people were struck by gunfire during the shooting. Two people remain in area hospitals with one in critical condition. So, Chief Schultz.
What tremendously brave cops. And they continue to do police work in Travis County. You know, there was originally rumors that they were going to be, you know, there's a prosecutorial investigation of this thing, but fortunately that was not true. You know, just so many things I thought about with this thing, and the decisions that have to be made by the individual officers. And I hearken back to the days when I had a shotgun and a six shooter, which would have been so inadequate in dealing with this kind of thing. And it's always amusing, just as a little aside in the midst of this tragedy, it's always amusing when a bike cop shows up in their, you know, bike shorts. You know, I think there was one guy that, you know, that was finally there. But, you know, they were taking cover. They were asking bystanders, you know, where the guy was. They were firing for effect. And just a great job. I just love heroes, and each one of them deserves a medal.
Agreed. Great. I would still look. We saw some long guns. I'm talking about from the police. I'd still like to see more cops for long guns. I don't think that they. I don't know what. I don't know why. I mean, we had a lot of cops with pistols. We had one or two with long guns, which I think saved the day. But you know, when you're going up against a guy with an AR-15, even though he was holding it out like he's like push, it was just so weird. He didn't have it. It was just so weird how he's holding it. But
well, you don't need a lot of skill. You really don't need a lot of skill if you're just going to spray and pray with the. And we talked about this when we talked about Iran, that there were going to be some domestic incidents that were inspired by this, whether it's a direct connection or not, or just in this guy's head. I'd like to say we called it.
Good point. Yeah, good point. Well, look, lastly, we got just enough time, I think. And this should be quick, but we've got Rumble.com. This is Butter again. Suspect died after being punched by Baltimore police officer during a welfare check. The chief mentioned this earlier. I'm just going to give a synopsis of it. Guy in a park after hours. And he had, am I right on that? He had been sitting at a traffic light, right? Yeah, sitting at a traffic light for an extended period of time, they said.
In your car. Right, in your car, sir.
I cled.
In your car, sir.
I cled on my...
Get in your fucking car, sir. Get in your car. Mm-hmm. 46. Start me a medic. Whitehead Court and Security Boulevard.
And the cop goes up. The guy... There's some kind of alter. I don't know what was being said because the mic wasn't activated, but the cop slams the guy's door closed, walks away. Guy opens up the door, gets out. And so the guy is agitated, starts getting too close to the cop. Cop puts his left hand out to kind of like touch the guy's chest to keep distance. And the guy takes his hand and like slams it down. I thought he hit the cop the first time. Cop just says, hey, get back in your car, get back in your car. He's not going 10-15, not arresting the guy yet. But then the guy gets in the cop's face again. Cop puts his hand up, touches him, and the guy swipes at the cop again. And the cop moves his hand out of the way within time, so he misses him. And then the guy, cop has to punch the guy. It looked like he had one punch with each hand real quick. Guy goes down. I didn't think it was like a hellacious hit. But it looked like the guy, there was so much blood on the pavement, looked like he was bleeding pretty profusely when he hit the ground face down, ended up dying at the hospital, Chief. I mean, we got 50 seconds, so take 30 of them.
Well, I'd say, you know, again, the rule one in a police contact for the police officer, there is no routine contact. Because you never know how this story is going to play out. And number two, rule of contact. If you're a civilian and you're being contacted by the police officer, do what the nice officer says.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love it. Well, Chief Schultz, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate it. And guys, please support our sponsors. They go to the great links to bring this good quality content to you. We have our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. We have ComplianTechnologies.com, Gunler.com, MyMedicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, and TubeBells.com. Guys, we'll look for you back on Monday, 12 noon Eastern for the live show. Go to LeoAffairs.ch as well.